doubted in himself. There's just some words to underline there. When Peter doubted in himself what the vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. You remember the God of detail told these two men what village, what city to go to, what street to go to, what man's house to go to, who to call for when they got there, and what he would be doing when they got there. He's up on the rooftop praying. So these men get there. Now, when Peter doubted the vision, the men which were sent from Cornelius made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which were surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision. Again, here's God in His detail. He's got Peter up on the rooftop. These men left Caesarea yesterday. It was a two-day journey from Caesarea to Joppa. They left yesterday, spent the night somewhere. The next day they come into Joppa, and it just so happens that they arrive at the gate of the house of Simon the Tanner as Peter has decided to go up to the rooftop to pray. While he's on the rooftop praying, God gives that vision. All these things just happen to happen at the same time. And of course, you and I know they just don't happen to happen. God is organizing this whole thing. God is systematically putting all of these steps in place. That's an important thing for you and I to realize, because God is still God. And God still does the same thing with His children. And He puts things systematically in place. We just need to learn to trust Him. And we need to learn to watch for His order of putting things in there. We need to look with Him. The reason we don't see God doing what God's doing is because we're not walking in fellowship with Him. We get up in the morning, we got our plans for the day. Here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this. We're going to go there. We're going to eat this. We're going to do that. God is not... As it says in Psalm 10:4, God is not in all their thoughts. Now that's talking about the wicked, but too many times we're guilty of the same thing. We make our whole plans without ever considering God. God, what would Thou have me to do? What do You want me to do today? Let's work this plan out together. Let's talk about it together. God has a systematic plan for all of us, and He puts things together. He did this for Peter. He got him up on the roof at the right time for these men to show up, so that everything would work in place. All right, verse 17 and 18 then was the men the angel sent. The men that the angel sent. And I wrote it this way, the timing is impeccable. And another indication that God was leading in this entire endeavor. It was a two-day walk from Caesarea to Joppa, and the men just happened to arrive as Peter was praying on the rooftop, immediately after he saw the vision. So God is working all these things together for good. He's putting them all together. All right, then verse 19 and 20, the message the Spirit spoke. The men, the angel sent, the message the Spirit spoke, verse 19 and 20. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Huh. What a coincidence. He had just seen this vision three times about touching unclean things. And now three Roman citizens from Caesarea show up coming to talk to Peter. Peter, who is a Jew by birth and a Jew by religion, a Jew by faith, who has never touched anything unclean, now three Gentile men are standing at the door wanting him to wander off to Caesarea to go visit a Gentile. All this would be against Peter's nature, against his inclinations. And so God has to prepare him for all these things. The Spirit is preparing Peter. The message, the Bible says, as Peter doubted, the Spirit revealed to him the three men had arrived, and He says to him, arise in verse 20, arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing. Remember what it said? While Peter doubted, He didn't tell anybody he doubted, but the Lord said, go down with them, doubting nothing. The Lord knew what was going on in Peter's mind. He knew he was questioning. He knew he was wondering what was going on. So God reveals it to him, the message that he spoke. The three Gentile men were undoubtedly represented by the unclean animals, let down in the vessel three times. All right, that was the purpose for it being, it wasn't once, it wasn't twice, it was three times. And as soon as the vision ends, there are three men standing at the gate calling for Peter. We might think it was three times because three times Peter denied him. Three times Peter said, I love him, I love him, I love him. And maybe three was just something that operated with Peter. But everything here looks like it's because the three men came. God showed him that so that he would understand that this whole thing was of God. So the men that God sent, the message the Spirit spoke, and then verse 21 and verse 22, the men sought. They came looking for Simon Peter. Verse 21, then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God and of good report among the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee unto his house and to hear words of thee. So after all these things had been done, Peter had to be convinced by God that these men were sent by him. They had been sent the day before. Sent for Peter. Cornelius sent them to come and get Peter and bring him back to them. It had to take some convincing for Peter. He had to have no doubts that this was of God. And so God went through great lengths to show him that he was the one that was involved in this. All right? All of these things convinced Peter that this occurrence was of God. It would take this assurance to convince this Jewish apostle to welcome these three Gentile men and to accept their invitation to come to Cornelius. The prejudice of a Jewish person toward any Gentile. The proud spirit of a Jew concerning any Gentile. They're just dogs. Would prohibit Peter from ever responding to these men's invitation to come to Caesarea had God not intervened and prepared him for it. So the Spirit, the preparation by the Spirit of God. That brings us to the second section of Acts chapter 10, and that is the obedience of the man of God. The obedience of the man of God. All this that the Lord has done for Peter is great, but if Peter doesn't respond, it doesn't really matter. There are a lot of times, I think, that God works in our lives and gives us direction and we don't respond. We end with the not so, Lord. And when that happens, we miss out on the blessing. The Lord tries to guide us or direct us in one place or another and we just say, nope, not my plan. Doesn't sound good, not what I want to do. And so we miss out on it. Thank God Peter responds. He was obedient to it. As we said already, Jonah did not respond positively till God had to, as you know, send him to Whale University and get him all straightened out. Peter responds right away and does what he's supposed to do. The obedience of the man of God, beginning in verse 23. An interesting passage. Then called he them, verse 23, and lodged them. This is Peter bringing those three Gentile men into the house of Simon the tanner. And he lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And on the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. So Peter welcomes these three men into the house. He definitely has got a hold of what this vision's all about. He allows them to spend the night in the house with him. Then he gets up and goes with them on the next day and travels with them overnight to the morrow to get to Caesarea to the house of Cornelius. And what happens when he gets there? All right, in verse number 25, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Cornelius had a very high opinion of the Apostle Peter. This Roman centurion fell down. This man that commanded 100 men under him and had some authority. When Peter walks in, he falls down at his feet. He's been told by God to send for this man. He must be somebody very special. God has said, He will tell thee the words whereby thou and thy household may be saved. And so when Peter gets in here, Cornelius just does what any Roman does to Caesar or any other authority. He falls down to worship him. Now again, the Roman Catholic Church has used Peter as their first pope. He's got the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And here's a man that falls down and worships him. And they worship the pope. Everything he says is from God. They get down on his knees. They kiss his ring. They do everything they can. But notice the reaction that happened in verse 26. This kind of throws that whole thing out the window. Because in verse 26, Peter took him up. He lifted Cornelius up, saying, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." You know what Peter's saying? Don't worship me. I'm just a man. I don't know how they missed that verse number 26. Well, fall down and worship the Pope, because Peter's the first Pope. Peter said, "Don't worship me, I'm just a man." He raised him back up. And he said, I stand up, I myself also am a man. You know, Daniel got himself in trouble. Because back in the book of Daniel, he let some people fall down and worship him. And it wasn't for a couple days later he ended up in a lion's den. Whether that was the reason, we know the other reason given about him praying, beseeching God. But God does not give His glory to others. We're going to run into a story in Acts 12, I think, the end of Acts chapter 12, where Herod gives a great speech and the people all say, "It's the voice of God and not a man." And God strikes him dead right there in front of them. And he's eaten up of worms. Yuck. And the Bible says, because God does not give His glory to others. I think Peter said, "Hey, I know what happens to people that do this. Get up off your feet. What are you trying to do to me?" And so get up. Don't worship me. I'm a man just like you are. So Peter, the obedience of the man of God, the worship of Peter. After inviting the men to stay the night, which again we said was a monumental event, Peter along with six others, chapter 11, verse 12, here in chapter 10, it just said, "And certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him." All right, when these three men came to Simon Peter, and they packed the next morning and left, it says certain brethren went with him. But chapter 11, verse 12, Peter says later, "And the Spirit bade me with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house." So this entourage that's going from Joppa back is the three Gentile men that were sent, plus Peter, plus six Jewish men with him. All right, so there's ten people in this group that's leaving from Joppa and going back to Caesarea that enters into Cornelius' house. The three Gentiles and the six Jews, not counting Peter. I don't know why six of them went. Maybe they figured we need to outnumber these guys just in case something happens on the way. I'm not sure what their thinking was. But six of them went. Why so many Jews went is going to be evident, because what God's going to do at this end of the chapter is not just for Cornelius and his household, but it's also for the Jews. For the Jews to see that the Holy Ghost is poured out on the Gentiles just like them. If there weren't Jewish witnesses with Peter there, there'd be nobody to tell the story except the Gentiles. And so God providentially, or Peter by hand picking, pick six other men to go with him that are going to be witnesses of what's going to happen in this situation. All right, so Peter along with six others go to Caesarea to meet Cornelius. When they arrived, Cornelius fell down at Peter's feet and worshipped him. And Peter, who had resisted the Lord washing him, you remember John 13, another one of Peter's not-sos. Peter, the Lord gets down to wash the disciples' feet. And Peter says, "Not my feet, Lord." All right, there's Peter again. "No, no, no, Lord, not me. You're not going to wash my feet. You are the Lord. I'm just Peter. You're not going to bow down and worship me." And the Lord said, "Peter, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me." "Okay, Lord, not my feet only, my hands, my head and my hands too." Peter was kind of slow on the uptake, but once he got there, he was all right. So here he is. He wouldn't let the Lord wash him, and he's not about to let Cornelius worship him. So the worship of Peter. Then the words of Peter in verse 27. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. All right, Cornelius had gathered not only his immediate family, but many outside his family, his kinsfolk, and friends. He had sent to Peter by God's direction for Peter to come, and he filled the house up. He got as many people in there as he could to hear this message when Peter arrived. And he said unto them in verse number 28, you know how that it is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come into the one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. How did God show him that? Those beasts let down in that sheet. That which God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. So he says, the only reason I'm here is because God showed me I'm supposed to come here. Verse 29, therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. You know what gainsaying means? Doing it for profit. I did not tell these three men, what's in it for me? What will you give me if I come with you? He said, I came without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. It's interesting, the Lord showed him to go, but the Lord didn't tell him why to go. He just said, Peter, go with them. But he didn't tell him why. Peter shows up and he says, all right, I'm here. Why am I here? God gave him a little bit of light at a time. Peter, go with them. Go with the Gentiles now. I wonder if the Lord had said, and I want you to preach the gospel to them because they're going to believe, if Peter would have had more trouble with that the Gentiles were going to believe. So God did not give him all the information at one time. He just gave him the information he needed. Peter, go with them. All right, I'm going to go with them. Why am I here? Now God's going to reveal why he's here. A little bit of light at a time. Again, that's the way the Lord works with us sometimes. He doesn't show us the whole picture. He gives us a little bit of light at a time. And so, the words of Peter in verse 27 to 29. Cornelius had gathered many together, and after Peter explained what God had shown him, he asked, for what intent have you sent for me? Apparently, Peter was still unaware of the purpose of his visit. So the worship of Peter, the words of Peter, and then the wish of Cornelius, beginning in verse 30. The wish of Cornelius. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago. All right? See how soon this has transpired? 4 days ago. He sent the three men. It took them 2 days to get to Simon Peter. They told him it took them 2 days to get back. All of this is happening rapidly. There's no lull in it. Cornelius had his vision. He sent the men 2 days later there with Peter. 2 days later, they've come back. Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. He's relating what we've already read earlier in the chapter. And said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in the remembrance of the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Again, Cornelius had this information. So he says, immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Cornelius, and we talked about already, he was a just man. He prayed to God always. He gave alms, but he was lost. God had him send to Peter, and Peter is now sent to give him the message. And so we find Cornelius now ready and hungry to hear what Peter has to say. That brings us to our final section, verse 34 to 48, and that is the preaching of the Word of God. We saw the preparation by the Spirit of God, the obedience of the man of God, and now the preaching of the Word of God. Peter makes it clear that his commission, according to verse number 42, he has commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be a judge of the quick and the dead. Peter's primary message was to preach. 3,000 converted on the day of Pentecost, 5,000 converted the next day through the preaching of Peter. He had the apostolic gifts, the signs and the wonders. He could heal people. He and John went to the temple and healed that lame man. He raises up Tabitha, Dorcas, from the deathbed. But that was not his primary ministry. That's a secondary thing. You know what was more important? Was the preaching of the Word of God. Miracles don't save people. The preaching of the Word. God has chosen through the preaching of the Word to save those which believe. That's why God has allowed the miracles to dissipate, the miracle workers to take a back seat now to the preaching of the Word of God. Those who are gullible, those who are unknowledgeable in the Scripture, are still elevating the miracle workers and going more for the signs and the wonders than they are the preaching. When Simon Peter gets to Cornelius' house, he does not heal anybody. He does not raise any dead people. He does not work any miracles. He preaches the gospel, and the Holy Ghost comes down from heaven and fills the believers that are there, and they're converted, and they get baptized, and they become a church. All that happens by the preaching of the Word. So God is turning the emphasis from those miracles and signs and wonders, and He's turning it to the preaching. Alright, so in verse 34 to verse 43, Peter preaches Christ. In the early church, preaching was Christ-centered. Every sermon preached ought to point people to Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what the sermon topic is. Every sermon should be centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes our speech different from anything else or anybody else. Civic clubs and social organizations can have some great orators and great speeches and great motivating things. But ours is different because it always centers around Christ. If Christ isn't the center of it, it's kind of wasted. And so Peter is going to preach, and he's going to preach Christ. In verse 34 to verse 37, we see the revealing of Christ. All right, in verse 34 to verse 37, the revealing of Christ. Peter opens his mouth and says, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." That was a unique thought for Peter at that time. God is no respecter of persons. He's talking about racially. He's talking about Jew and Gentile. He's talking about the Hebrews and the heathen. And he said, "I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation." Now again, it's hard for us to recognize, I hate to use the word again, how monumental this was for Peter to say those words. For him to say, "I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth Him and worketh righteousness is accepted with Him." You know, this very message, Peter's going to take back to the Council of Jerusalem, James and the other apostles, and they're not going to buy it. They're not going to accept that the gospel has been opened to the Gentiles because they don't believe what Peter is saying. Peter has gotten this vision, it's been revealed to him, but it's not been shown to James yet. It's not been shown to the other apostles. They'll get it in Acts chapter 15 and they'll catch on slowly. But this is a great transition that's taking place. In verse number 36, "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all, that word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee, which John preached." All right, he's telling them, he said, this message started with the Jews. It started in Judea and went through Galilee. It began with the baptism of John. Peter realizes what God is doing. He says, "I perceive." All right, through the word, though the word was first sent to the children of Israel, beginning at Galilee, it went throughout all Judea. through John's baptism and now was spreading to every nation. So Peter is getting involved in introducing this gospel to the these Gentiles that are here to hear it in the house of Cornelius. All right, the top of page 4, verse 38 and verse 39. We saw the revealing of Christ. Now we see the rejection of Christ in verse 38 and verse 39. The rejection of Christ. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Peter is giving a recap of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 39, and we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. All right, Peter says, we, the apostles, the Jewish people, were witnesses of all that Jesus did. But then he says, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Though Peter says he was anointed with power, though he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, they slew him and hanged him on the tree. All right, Peter again is preaching the sinlessness of Christ. Pilate himself said, I find in him no fault at all. And Peter is saying, they found no fault in him, but they slew him. They hung him on a tree. Then in verse 40 to 42, we read about the resurrection of Christ. Again, this is all about Christ, the revealing of Christ, the rejection of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, verse 40 to verse 42. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. All right, Christ was resurrected. He appeared to Mary, the other Mary, to the disciples, to above 500 brethren at once. He walked on the earth for 40 days after his resurrection. Showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God. Even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Again, that teaches us the physical resurrection of Christ. He ate and drank with them after he rose from the dead. His resurrection was not a spiritual resurrection, it was a physical resurrection. A lot of folks get confused on that. And if you remember the end of verse 41, when you're witnessing and talking to them, remember that phrase that he said, we ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He was not just a spiritual resurrection. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be a judge of the quick and of the dead. All right? The resurrection. The disciples who had been witnesses of both his life and death had also been witnesses of his resurrection. They ate and drank with him after his resurrection. John 21, when he sat down and ate fish with him. And afterward received a command to preach and to testify that it was he which was ordained of God to be a judge of the quick and the dead. All right, we got one more point here to cover this morning. The remission of sins through Christ. Verse number 43. The remission of sins through Christ. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. This is probably not the entire message. This is all that Luke recorded. But Luke wants to emphasize to us that the topic, the center, the power of the message is he's preaching Christ. A lot of folks can go into a church today and sit there for half an hour and walk out and never hear about Christ. They can be challenged to be better people, treat their neighbor better, serve their community, and all that's good stuff. But if Christ isn't the center of the message is wrong. Here is Peter preaching to these Gentiles the first message they're ever going to hear. It's about the revealing of Christ, the rejection of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and the remission of sins through Jesus Christ. Although this is probably not the entire sermon of Peter on that day, the wrap-up or the conclusion was clear. Remission of sins is given to all who would believe in him, even these Gentiles. Now, I wish you didn't know the rest of the chapter, because then it would be so exciting to tell you what happens. And you're going to have to wait till next week to find out, because we're done right there for now. So pretend you don't know. All right, let's pray. Father, again, we're so thankful for the Word of God. Lord, how exciting it is. Lord, to follow through these verses and to read these this historical account of what happened back in those days. And Lord, see how the gospel went from the Jew to the Gentile. How Cornelius and his family were introduced to it by Peter and what Peter proclaimed that day. Lord, this is just good stuff. And we're so thankful that You have chosen to record it for us so that we can read it, we can study it, we can know it. And Lord, we can be better witnesses to our friends and neighbors because of it. Lord, bless our morning service and those that come to join us in Jesus' name.